Sacramento.
Time for another exciting edition of
Lick Us and Win.
Lick it up.
All right, final round. Lick Us and Win Wednesday. Give us some good stuff. We got Tesla tickets Saturday night at Thunder Valley, or we have tickets to the California Capital Air Show. Joe's doing famous inventors and inventions. Mm-hmm. I'm doing planes, trains, automobiles, and rock and roll. So, give us some good stuff. And I'm looking over here at the screen. This is funny. I don't know if this has ever happened before on a round of Lick Us and Win. I have all the questions, and all the callers have questions for me. Oh. There's not one question on there for you.
There's not one inventor or invention question?
Not coming through yet. No, and the lines are full. 766-9370. Let's start with Don. Don, good morning. Lick Us and Win.
Good morning. This question's for Dog.
Okay.
Dog, who is the only three-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Woo! Oh, good question.
Okay, so, whoa. Would this be an induction for musician, producer, and engineer?
A musician.
Okay, but did they get in under musicianship or title of musician all three times?
Yes.
Oh.
And would that be because they were in three different bands or had three different things that they did throughout their career?
Yes.
Okay. This is a good question, and this is going to be like one of those ones that you want to slap the back of your own head. And you don't have to, and it doesn't matter. Even if you do, we'll probably still get you into the drawing. What era?
I would say all eras, maybe, from like the 60s to current.
Oh. Wow.
Would it be Bob Dylan?
No.
I got to be honest with you. I would have zero idea.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having such a struggle with this. I'm not going to waste a lot of time. Lay it on me.
That would be Eric Clapton as a single solo artist. And then with the Yardbirds.
And Cream.
And with Cream.
Wow. There you go. Eric Clapton. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be one of those duh. Okay.
He's the only one to do it, though, huh?
Yeah, is he still the only one to ever have three inductions from three different bands? Or?
I believe he is, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Very good.
Great question.
Hang on. You can go to the California Capital Air Show or Tesla. Nice question. Let's go to Steven. Steven, good morning.
Good morning, Doggy Joe.
Hey, bro.
Hey, how you doing? I got a good one for Dog, real easy one. What is Jeff Keith's favorite football team, NFL football
Raiders.
Team? Raiders.
Ah, I knew you know that. I didn't know that.
You would think, remember his dog? He named his dog Raider.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, he's a big Raiders fan. And the other thing is, too, you would think he would have given me a hard one so you could have went and seen the show. You know, you gave me one so easy that you can't go now.
Oh, man.
Let's go to Mike. Mike, Lick Us and Win.
Hey, good morning, boys. How you doing?
Hi, Mike. Good, man.
Hey, I got a question for Joe. It's in honor of the air show this weekend.
Okay.
The United States Air Force Thunderbirds, what planes do they fly?
Oh, that's a doggy question.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I think at one time...
Oh, man, I don't know. I picked the category.
Well, we were talking about these guys and all the different... There's a couple different crews. There's the Thunderbirds, the Snowbirds. And
no. The Thunderbirds, there's no different crews. Snowbirds aren't from here. Snowbirds are Canadian.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah, there's a couple different of these flying well, cool teams.
Yeah. They've got different organizations that go out and fly and all that, but the Thunderbirds are Thunderbirds. Thunderbirds and Blue Angels, that's cream of the crop stuff.
That's our American ones.
Yeah. When you're down on your luck and, you know, you're a little short on cash, you call the Snowbirds.
Come on.
That's the opening band. Let's just be truthful, man. You get the Thunderbirds showing up, you get the Blue Angels, now you're like rocking and rolling. And I do believe, aren't they the elite? How does it go? Are the Blue Angels better than the Thunderbirds or vice versa?
I am not sure on that one.
Because I thought there was one that was supposedly more prestigious.
Yeah, I did too, but I can't remember which one it is. They both look so awesome to me. I have no idea.
You know, that's when you're out walking around and all these, you're like, Snowbirds, huh? That's like the opening band. You know, you go to the big concert venue, the Snowbirds come out. You're like, oh, God, the Snowbirds. What kind of plane do they fly?
Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest. I want you to go see it because it sounds like you're a fan. What kind of plane do the Thunderbirds fly?
They fly the F-16s.
F-16s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And now, true or false on this, Blue Angels, kind of a cooler paint job. Their planes look a little more slick, don't they?
Yeah, and they fly the Hornets. They fly those F-18 fighters. Those things are cool.
Yeah.
Oh, so they both they fly different ones.
Yeah, a little bit different planes. For those out there.
From the Navy. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
The Blue Angels fly for the Navy, and the Air Force is the Thunderbirds.
So I think the Blue Angels are supposedly, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think they've got a little bit of a up over the Thunderbirds. I think the naval pilots are supposedly, from what I've been told, I could be totally wrong, they got a little bit of an edge. You want to be a Blue Angel over a Thunderbird, I think.
Wow, and I'm guessing that in order to get one of those positions, you're going to have to have flown some war battles and some missions and probably be the best of the best.
A lot of days they have what they call walk-ons.
And they do not have that, do they?
Yeah, they have walk-ons. You come out there like, man, I played with model planes as a kid, and I really love them. Had a remote control once. I'd love to do what you do in the air for real. And they say, well, let's go up. Let's see what you got.
Well, you don't know if they just maybe took somebody that's cocky like the Iceman or Maverick and bring him out, you know? You have no idea how they select their pilots.
Hang on, that's a good question. We'll get you in. And for anyone out there, if you love the California Capital Air Show, coming up, I believe at the end of this month or October, you got Fleet Week in San Francisco. If you haven't been to that, go to San Francisco, go to Fleet Week. You will be amazed of what they do over the city and what they're doing out in the bay. And it's really, really a cool time if you love aviation and stuff flying around. And they bring some ships out. And it is really, really cool. So, good question. Appreciate it. Hang on. We'll get you in. Let's go to Cable. Cable, lick us and win.
Hey, Cable.
Hey, guys. I had a question for Dog, but I feel bad for Joe, so I can switch it up if you guys like.
No, you're all right, bro. I've had a couple of them. I've had plenty of them today. Go ahead.
All right. You guys know what the SR-71 Blackbird is, right?
Yeah.
Fastest plane ever?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. What famous designer was the head of that team for Lockheed?
Now, when you say famous designer, what else has he designed? Or she?
C-38. That's the twin engine fighter of World War II.
Yeah, so famous plane designer.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were going to say they designed cars or they worked for a design studio that designed other things other than planes. I don't know.
Kelly Johnson.
Oh man, love his work. Builds a beautiful bird. Kelly
he builds
Johnson.
The fastest plane flying right now. That guy. Yeah.
I know people
probably
that are into planes.
Most famous designer ever.
Okay. I did not know that, and I specifically picked this category hoping that people would get me on this and go to the California Capital Air Show.
Yeah, man, we want to send you guys to these things. That's the point of it.
Randy, I could use some more licking. What do you got?
I got one. I could actually switch it over. I'll give it to Joe.
Okay.
All right, so Howard Hughes, he was a famous plane inventor. Mm-hmm. He invented the fastest plane in 1935. What was the name of that plane?
That's easy.
No, the one you're thinking of is the Spruce Goose.
Not that one.
No,
that was the all wood one.
That was supposed to be the all
the
biggest.
Hercules.
Yeah.
That was was it the Juice Goose? The Loose Goose?
I don't know what that one was, man. Which one was it?
It was a Hughes H-1 Racer.
Did he fly it?
He did fly it. Yeah, that's when. He did fly that one.
So that was before he got all weird and started collecting his urine in jars and letting his fingernails grow, and he held up in the hotel and got all wacky.
Yes.
Yeah, that was before that.
Wow. Okay. What a good one, man. The cool thing about Howard Hughes was not only did he design them and build them and rich and eccentric and all that, but he would fly them.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I liked about
it. That's creepy back then, man, because you never knew if the wings were going to come off or what. Let's go to Roy. Roy, lick us and win. Hi.
Hi, so I got a rock on a train question. In 1970, there was a rock music festival that toured Canada by train, billed as the Transcontinental Pop Festival. I mean, a documentary came out about a while ago about showing them partying on the train and kind of jamming and all that. So can you name one of the bands or artists that participated?
Well, I wasn't alive in 1970. I'm an American, so I wouldn't have been in Canada.
Well, they're American bands.
Okay, so these were American bands. And so the bands traveled by train, or they performed on the train as it traveled?
They jammed with each other on the train, but they just traveled from city to city on the train.
Okay.
Oh, what a good question.
And you're saying this happened in 1970, and you just want to see if I can name any one of the bands that were on this traveling transcontinental train jam.
Exactly. Any band or artist.
Man, I just tell you, this stinks of two California bands. It had to be CCR or Grateful Dead. They had to be one of them on there.
You got it, man. Grateful Dead was the headliner.
Yeah, Grateful
yeah,
Dead.
Dude.
Yeah. Driving that train high on cocaine.
Yeah.
Yuck. Yeah. All right, I'll take that, sadly.
The stinks of California, man.
And again, you know how much I love this state. I love this state. I will die for this state. I love this state. But and I shouldn't have said it stunk of California bands. It stunk of rotten California bands.
Oh, man, that was funny.
Let's go to Mike. Mike Lickison-Wynn.
Yeah, I got a question for Joe.
Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, what was the original intention when the Slinky was first invented?
I should know this.
Oh, golly. The original intention for the Slinky.
Yeah.
Well, it was invented for
something else,
a single purpose, and then it was repurposed as a toy.
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm glad you said that it was repurposed for a toy.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, physically, virtually, and legitimately impossible for the Slinky to walk downstairs.
I hate when you say that.
I don't care what you say, but that thing was on strings in the commercial. It does not walk downstairs or over books. The Slinky does not do nothing that the TV commercial showed you it did.
You talk to it and play with it nice enough, it'll walk
up
steps. I
have 2 kids and like a million Slinkies, and I've never been able to get them to go downstairs.
No, because it's impossible.
I've tried a million times.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Does it say on the commercial that they need to go down all stairs? Because if it goes two or three, that feels like it's done something to me.
You know what? You know how it goes down the stairs? You throw it. You just take it and you throw it. And it gets all curled up and it gets all bound up and twisted and it rolls down the stairs. But it does not walk like a snake like it showed you on TV. It doesn't do it. It's impossible.
I want to say that the original invention, I'm obviously would guess something springy. And I don't know why I would think this, but I'm going to want to say like the garage door spring.
Boy, that's a big-ass spring, man.
Isn't it? I can't think of anything else long like that and springy.
And I saw this on one of the inventions. We've talked about the Slinky from time to time.
Yeah.
Wasn't it invented as it was going to be something for a heating or cooling device for a radiator, or you know how we have the dryer hoses and all that? I think it was going to be an outlet tube of something. And then they took the coating back, or it was designed for something mechanical.
Some of those tubes, that the dryer tubes, I think they have what looks like a Slinky thing inside there,
they're
right?
They're just bigger, yeah.
Is he close on that?
Yeah, not really.
Okay, what was it?
Give that kid discipline, too.
Or a Slinky.
Yeah, it was Slinky. It was set up in the captain's quarters of old ships. That's kind of a way to realize if the ship wasn't taking on water too much on one side to make sure it was straight. But if it went too far to one side, the Slinky would start going over, and you could see one side was longer than the other.
Oh, so they would leave it half round. So they would take the Slinky,
yeah,
so it's evenly distributed, and they would put it there on whatever of the boat. And if it rocked too far one way or the other, they would see it collecting the other coils.
Yeah. And
I've never heard that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, a ship is supposed to rock evenly one way to the next. And if you pay close attention to the Slinky, you can see if it's kind of hugging to the port side or if it's hugging to the starboard side. And then you know,
where yeah, your boats are balanced.
Control the buoy.
I'll be damned. I've never. Do they still kind of use that? Something like that now?
Yeah, because GPS sucks.
Or a gyroscope type thing. I don't know. I'm not a boat guy.
Yeah.
What do they use on a boat?
Yeah, GPS is awful. I mean,
you wouldn't use GPS to make sure your boat's at level.
Well, sure. Yeah, sure you would. They've got all the self-navigation. They've got everything is so electrified or electronic on it. They've got depth and range and motion.
I bet you they use something kind of close to that, though.
Well, yeah, but it's called a leveler. It's like an electronic leveler.
Oh, it'd just be a level.
Yes, the boat inside is going to know, and it's going to adjust thrust and all that stuff to set it if you want a good, comfortable ride, I would think. I know nothing about...
Yeah.
Well, about neither do I, but I would assume
not a travel
they
either.
Probably would have had a level back then.
Yeah, I mean, I would think they'd have a level, but I guess it was more fun when you're out at sea and you're bored, you're drunk on rum, to watch a Slinky.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a great one, dude. I've never known that.
Nice question. Hang on. Yeah, I like that. One more. This is the final one. Make it good, Jim. What do you got?
Okay, the cell phone. I want to know who the inventor was of the cell phone, not the company, but the inventor in the year.
So you want the guy's name in the year? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, evidently, he worked for Motorola.
I don't know.
Wasn't Motorola the bag phone? That was the first one, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know if Motorola invented the first. I don't know. Who is it? Do you know, John?
I don't know.
What's the guy's name?
Martin Cooper, 1973, and it was Motorola.
Martin Cooper, Motorola. Wow.
Wow, good one, dude. That's obviously something good to know, because there ain't a person listening right now that doesn't have one.
Yeah. Oh, a bag phone? Here. Hey, God.
Yep.
Here's Jordy.